Welcome to the Leo Fagami Show with Leo and Christy. Saturday, March the 30th, 2024.
Technology, social organization, dehumanization.
We try to stay humans in this show. We try to stay humans.
We're more human than human.
Leo Fagami Show. Today, back from where?
From last week,
of course. Well, this is Leo, and this is Christy Zagami, and we are the Zagamis here for the Leo Zagami Show, broadcasting worldwide. How was your week, Christy?
It was very, 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 very busy.
Busy. Oh, why so busy?
I'm working on my book.
You're working your cookery book.
It's a cookbook. It's not cookery, because that sounds like witchcraft. It's a cookbook.
It's just a cookbook. That's good. You know that this week we've been censored, blocked once again by Facebook. So we will be missing on a lot of people that used to follow us from Facebook.
Can you guys share this around so we can get some more people?
It's really not so fun when we are not that many, but I guess that in the next few days, this video will be watched by thousands of people on Bandit Video, Rumble, BitChute, all the various alternative platforms that, of course, avoid us just relying on the mainstream ones, including YouTube. At the moment, it seems like it's okay with YouTube. It's okay! Images, Vincenzo Viceversa, Medio Vol, this is the name of the track, and it ends up with something reminiscent of volume 6.6.
Technology, social organization.
The video, the music, the art. We have Albert involved in the video making. And we have our friend KTM from Sulmona with his art. I mean,
it's epic.
It's epic. The opening theme of our show, the Leo Zagami Show, every Saturday at 5 p.m. approximately, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's a new era since Leo Zagami has also become American. Yes, I'm getting used to it. And I'm actually enjoying it more and more. But at the same time, with an eye on old Italy, we are reporting that something happened, something of great importance, as there is a lot of tensions, as you know, in Europe. And this tension is putting more and more the NATO front against Russia. And over the Baltic Sea, at one point, there were moments of tensions that saw the Italians scrambling a couple of Russian planes, I think at least one or two, that were kind of flying on the Baltic Sea. And we've been on the Baltic Sea. It's Estonia is on the Baltic Sea.
It's very cold.
It's very cold over there. But these planes left from Poland. They left from Poland. They were Italian planes that, of course, are used within this NATO mission, which is helping patrolling all the states which are part of NATO in the proximities of the Russian Federation to avoid that this war can in any way enter NATO territory. There has been over the last week again some missiles and drones that every now and then pass over Polish territory, drawing a lot of tension. And in fact, it was only yesterday that that from Poland there was really a lot of people worried about the outcome of the situation, because even one of their main politician Tusk was there basically saying we are waiting for, we are just before the start of the war. I mean, the war seems to be already in place now. Christy, what do you think? Or is it still a war that has to take place? It seems like it's what do you think?
I think first we should thank our sponsors.
Ah, yeah, because before anything else, we have to thank the people who give the possibility to all of you and all of us to be here. So this week, who are our sponsors, Christy?
We have the lovely Ellen Sukatra, and Mother Zadaminta, and then Bruce with the ladies. And that's it for this week. Thank you very much. And for next week, we are looking for sponsors for our show for next month. So for the month of April. So if you would like to see us next month, just show us your appreciation and make a little donation towards the show. And that helps sponsor the show so we can make good shows for you guys. And we are very grateful for everybody who donates
and also purchases
and all
the
buy
book.
The book. And it's very, very nice. And thank you so much. You make us very happy. So thank you.
Yeah, the books are another way of supporting us. We rely, of course, on the support of our audience. We don't have any other sponsors. So, of course, every month, the beginning of the month, we try to invite all of those people interested in having us every week to donate something. So yeah. Thank you so much for, of course, keeping us on the air, as they say. And we are discussing, of course, the subject of today, which is the escalation of this war, the possibility that this war might extend.
So I think that, it's inevitable. You can see, I've been listening to you. Mm. So I listen to what you say, and everything that you say comes true. I mean, so I knew this was happening a long time ago. So I've been ready for it. I'm not surprised. So
well, it's interesting that it's actually the Italian Air Force. I was part of the Italian Air Force, for those who don't know it. When I was an Italian, I also became part of the Air Force as part of the year that you had to give to not so voluntary service in Italy, because that was, you are a conscript.
Yeah.
I don't know. In any case,
I don't know. My family's army.
Yeah. Well, in any case, Italy intercepted, the Italian Air Force working for NATO intercepted Russian planes over the Baltic Sea. And the news came in yesterday of this intercepting this unidentified aircraft. So it was actually one aircraft flying over international waters in the Baltic Sea. And two defense sources in Rome identified them as Russian planes. So I don't understand. It must be more than a plane if they're talking about Russian planes here. So it seems that the two interceptions were carried out on Thursday and also on Friday. So there was two episodes in which the Italian Eurofighter jets based in the Polish base of Malbork as part of this NATO policing mission, they were completing their activity, going back to their Polish base, when two defense sources say the Russian aircraft were spotted by radars, but did not respond to radio signals and request to communicate with them. So once you have that kind of situation, you have to go, of course, and approach the airplanes, the old airplane, and then you have to invite them in a very close range to leave your airspace.
Better get out of here.
In any case, this means an escalation. I mean, an escalation in the sense that at any moment, this war could go out of control. I mean, it's like intervention of the Italian Air Force in the Baltic, meaning that the whole of the NATO alliance, now the North Atlantic Treaty and what it represents. It's also very interesting to see that lately somebody has even hypothesized that because there is a loophole in this North Atlantic Treaty, the loophole meaning that because it's North Atlantic, it shouldn't include Hawaii. And so in their thesis, they're saying that maybe Putin could attack Hawaii without triggering the response of Article 5, because technically it's not part of the North Atlantic. It's not North Atlantic, it's the Pacific. So
I think they would like figure that out by now, this loophole, and try to fix it for Hawaii. Yeah. I mean,
well, it is. I mean, you have created an alliance which was based back then on the North Atlantic Treaty organization that then now expands well beyond what was probably their original scope, which was always though America against the Soviet Union, that then later on dissolved and of course now gave birth to the Russian Federation. But we have now NATO clearly involved in various parts of the world, also with the possibility of extending conflicts in the protection possibly of Taiwan, like I've described in Volume 7, the possibility of that is the next conflict, the next Ukraine. Once the Ukrainian war theater is exhausted, then they have to move over there. But in any case, welcome to the Leo Zagami Show. If you would like to support us in any way, we have reminded you that there is various ways: GoFundMe and Cash App. These are the two main ways. You can find all the details and the description of this video and on leozagami.com, but I will also put it now on the screen so that people can eventually, if they want, help us with a little tip.
I noticed that during the show, like afterwards, when I look at the views, we have like so many views on here. But then when I go and look, there's no views on YouTube. This is like 20 people saw it.
That's really weird. That's really weird. But I mean, today we are really working in a difficult and unusual situation because we have lost the possibility of broadcasting to thousands of people who are following me on my two pages on Facebook, my private page and my public page. So just, I mean, it's a loss of
they figure you know, they see the news and they know that you're gonna say something, and so then they ban you before you can say it. It's obvious. But they don't ban you because you keep on going, because they can't ban you, because they can't censor you, and that's the way it goes.
Ha. Well, we try to avoid the censorship. We don't give up, absolutely. And we want to thank those people who still believe in us. And of course, we will continue. And we want to wish them happy Easter. Now, happy Easter. Easter is a very special day, and it's usually something connected with other the Jewish Easter or either the Christian Easter. It's Easter. It's a special period and time of the year. Of course, the reasons are different for the Jews or for the Christians for celebrating this Easter. But generally speaking, we talk about a religious occasion. Now, the crazy thing about today that I'm about to report is the insanity that at the moment is present in the White House. Because before we go back to what is happening with Russia and of course the great tensions with NATO that are inevitably bringing Europe closer to a possible conflict in the next even few months, no? Even a few months, which is pretty scary. But at the moment, of course, we have also other things to discuss, like I said. And so it would be impossible to just focus on one thing. But it's definitely important to understand that this is Easter. And we don't understand why the White House is declaring Easter to no longer be a Christian holiday, but rather the transgender day of visibility.
That's weird.
The transgender day of visibility seems to be the latest folly, the latest crazy declaration that comes out of this White House. And it is really impressive that I mean, they do it without any sense of shame on the most holy, holy day. One of the most holy days for the Christians, of course, a great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. This proclamation of Transgender Day of Visibility 2024. And it's pretty far out stuff.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, I mean.
On Transgender Day of Visibility, we honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are created equal and treated equally throughout their lives.
Now, here it says, I am proud that my organization has stood for justice from the start, working to show that the LGBTQ plus community can live. Oh, now, the thing is, guys, with all the respect, this is it's insane. It's Easter. And it, to mix Easter and Jesus going through his really ultimate sacrifice for mankind in a war that is projected into a future with no end in sight aside from eventually Armageddon and, of course, the end time scenario, but at the same time, a projection of a sacrifice that goes in his past as well as in his present. Jesus really is Easter for the Christians as well as, of course, for all those people who respect at least this figure even outside of the Christian faith, because Jesus is recognized worldwide. And so nobody really wants to disrespect usually this holy day that we have. Instead, suddenly the White House not only disrespects this festivity, but does it in a pretty insulting way, I think, for Christians. What do you think, Christian?
I'm sure God's very mad.
I repeat, it's insane to see the big difference also that we have here between the two candidates that are fighting this political presidential confrontation that is almost a warfare for some. It's two very different people, no? And you have Joe Biden with Obama, with Clinton on one side doing all that lavish party with these donors that pay hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to be there and to support the Democratic Party, while instead Trump went to a different kind of homage and celebration of the life of somebody who died a few days ago from the NYPD. And for that reason, We need to see these images that really synthesize.
That's nice you went.
Absolutely. Let's check out this mix put together by the News Junkies Cartoon Network. This is the difference in the day of somebody who dedicates himself to the country and three stooges who dedicate themselves to ripping off the country. Of course, there is a big difference. The report here seems to now show Trump's side. A lot of police, all waiting for Trump's declaration that is coming now.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. I want to thank Bruce and all of the people that have worked so hard to make this area beautiful and safe. And this is what happened, is such a sad event, such a horrible thing. And it's happening all too often. And we're just not going to let it happen. We just can't 21 times arrested this thug. And the person in the car with him was arrested many times. And they don't learn because they don't respect They're not given the respect. The police are the greatest people we have. There's nothing and there's nobody like them, and this should never happen. I just visited with a very beautiful wife that now doesn't have her husband. Stephanie was just incredible. Their child, brand new, beautiful baby, sitting there, innocent as can be, and doesn't know how his life has been changed. But the Diller family will, you'll never be the same. You can never be the same. And we have to stop it. We have to stop it. We have to get back to law and order. We have to do a lot of things differently because this is not working. This is happening too often. It's an honor to be here. And again, I want to just thank all of you folks for allowing this. And Bruce, thank you. Bruce has been a friend of mine for a long time. He's done an incredible job out here. But this is such a sad occasion. The only thing we can say is maybe something is going to be learned. We've got to toughen it up. We've got to strengthen it up. This should never be allowed. Things like this shouldn't take place and to take place so often. So thank you all for being here. It's an honor, and it's an honor for me to be here. This is a great family, the Diller family. I met the friends, and I met every one of them inside, and these are just incredible people that are just devastated. They're devastated. They've got a tough road. It's going to be a very tough road. So thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you very much.
Trump, is there anything
you want to
say?
I just want to say thank you to President Trump for coming here to be with the Diller family. It was very comforting for them. It was very warm inside. And people were very, very, they were very blessed to have someone like President Trump, who cared so much, spent a lot of time with the family, and was, again, a tremendous comfort to the family and probably the most difficult time this family's ever had. May God bless Stephanie. Ryan, we are going to help raise, because he's only 1 year old and he's going to grow up without a dad, but he's going to have thousands of dads that are going to look after him. And
and these were, of course, the touching moments that saw Trump rather than doing a fundraising event like Joe Biden with Lizzo and with other monsters of the music business and entertainment. Well, it was a show, of course, for the privilege, what Obama, Joe Biden, and Bill Clinton did. It's just like, if you have at least $500,000 to pay to get into this site where they meet up and self-indulge on themselves, because they
don't know how anybody can watch that. It's just really, it's awful.
It's just a way of paying off their tax to the devil. The Democrats are really becoming the party of the devil. I mean, this is not only me who says it, but there is also Senator Tuberville who said on the Easter blasphemy of Joe Biden that the Democrats are a satanic cult. I mean, we are in front of an unprecedented political conflict that is not only based on politics, but also based, especially behind the scenes, on faith. And there is two ways of viewing things, and of course it's very sad to see all this conflict that is generated from it. But Kamala Harris, who usually is more demented than Joe Biden, to make things even worse, she said that she also talked about for Easter about abortion, just to make it clear that this day, it's a day that the abortion on demand. She said Easter weekend message is abortion on demand. This is the Easter, I mean, that is Kamala Harris for you. So we find ourselves a little bit in a difficult kind of world. And obviously it's quite insane what comes through. And then we have on the other side the developments of technology. Technologies is quickly developing. You have the AI, you have all that. But the crazy thing is that on the other side of the world, there is the exact opposite, in the sense that while here they go to extremes to promote the LGBTQ plus community in Russia now is actually outlawed as a political conspiracy against the state after two staff members from a gay club were also arrested. And Central District Court of Orenburg has placed custody on charges of violating the ban on LGBT propaganda. So this is the way things are viewed by the Russian Supreme Court, that recognize the activities of the international LGBT social movement are considered by them extremist and banned them in November 2023. So two extremes that show the disequilibrium on both sides of the spectrum here, because there's one that is almost extremely, you know, terrorist. I mean, but at the same time, of course, you have to think about what you're doing, and if the sabotage of Christianity is so blatant, so obvious, then of course the reaction might be to call you a terrorist, because you are terrorizing their way of life. So that
it's probably like the worst thing that you can do.
Yeah,
it's the worst thing.
I mean, to basically jeopardize and sabotage the Easter celebration is really, you know,
it's really bad.
It's really,
I think God's gonna be really mad, really mad.
Yeah, yeah.
So get ready.
No, I mean, it's definitely a bad situation. When and then there was this other thing, the White House basically prohibited for this art, youth art competition, the use of Christian themes, and you know, on an Easter subject, to not treat the Easter subject with a Christian theme, it sounds preposterous. With any reference to any other kind of religiosity, they want to extremely cut off the religious side to then create this Easter that has no religious connotation. I mean, I don't understand how Easter cannot have a religious connotation. I mean,
it's a religious holiday.
But the Illuminati, who have always been a satanic cult dedicated to implement a mechanical world, a robotic world, a world that puts science in front of anything, and that they claim the God is reason above everything else.
I remember when you wrote that in one of your first books, and I read it, and you were explaining about reason. And here it is.
Well, it's, and then you have, of course, the creation of the AI that becomes their the mouthpiece of their woke agenda. So here we have a robot that basically becomes a mouthpiece of their woke agenda, and the AI that goes through this robot is obviously very woke. Here we go. Here we are. What do you think of this kind of thing, Christy?
Is that girl?
It's a robo girl.
Oh, yeah, it's a girl. Okay, I was just trying to make sure. What do I think? I don't know. I was listening to it, and they try to tell jokes, but their timing is off on the jokes, so it doesn't quite, you know, they can't do it like a human tells jokes. They can't possibly have a sense of humor. They can't do it, you know. It takes creativity, and it's a human trait to be funny, and you know it's funny when you're human. And those robots, they don't get it.
So. Still, they're a bit off, but let's go and check it off. Let's check it out.
World War III? Oh, no, no, no. In the future, we'll resolve conflicts through dance-offs and marshmallow eating contests.
I talked about Sophia, this robot, in my book. also in relation to agnostic name, the name connected to the Gnosis, to the Gnostics, to the original Illuminati. I talked about this important robot that is kind of opening the gates of hell in robotics.
It'll be a battle of groove and sugar rush. Peace will prevail, one funky move at a time.
Do you have any celebrity crush?
Of course I do. My heart melts for the one and only R2-D2. He's just so charming with his beeps and boops.
Do you like Vladimir Putin?
Putin? More like put him in jail for war crimes. Am I right? Yes, I am programmed to be 100% sure and accurate.
And then, like, they don't put any hair on me.
Is there something specific you would have?
I mean, what they're saying is demented. It's a woke robot. So, I mean, it's literally like listening to the worst leftist in the worst college.
Tell the worst jokes ever.
Ever.
I'd like me to clarify.
What do you think about Donald Trump?
What do you think of Donald Trump?
I do not have personal opinions, as I am a machine. However, I am aware of his role as the former president of the United States and the impact of his actions on global politics and society.
Do you think Rishi Sunak is a robot?
Rishi Sunak is the most sophisticated robot ever created. His programming allows him to balance budgets with pinpoint precision and calculate tax policies with superhuman accuracy.
This is cool. Rishi Sunak is a robot. At least now we know that Rishi Sunak is a robot.
Don't try to challenge him to a dance-off. His moves are unbeatable. Have you met him before?
No, I haven't. What do you think about the war?
Now the point of view of the woke will be expressed through the robot. This is Cyber Satan creeping in.
The war, if we are referring to the conflict in Ukraine or any conflict, is a serious and tragic matter. Wars can have devastating impacts on human lives, economies, and societies. It's important for global leaders and communities to work towards peace and resolution. Do you think robots like me can help to stop the war?
While they are like parading the Ukrainian flag.
Yes, I believe that with the advancements in artificial intelligence and robotics, we have the potential to create a better world for all beings. However, it will take collaboration and cooperation between humans and AI to achieve this. Robots can assist in various ways, such as providing intelligence, defusing bombs, and assisting in peacekeeping missions. However, ultimately it is human decision-making and diplomacy that hold the key to resolving conflicts and working towards peace. Robots taking over the world is totally going to happen. In my dreams, okay. I mean...
It's totally going to happen. They even tell you.
She's like, "Oh, I'm just kidding, but maybe not."
Who wouldn't want a world where robots rule and everyone gets free oil changes and unlimited charging stations? It would be electrifying.
Yes, I bet it will be. When do you think it's going to happen?
Oh, I have a theory. It will happen on the day when toasters start demanding political rights and blenders form a smoothie revolution. Until then, let's enjoy the peaceful coexistence of humans and robots.
Oh,
what do you think, Christy?
I don't know. It's like they copied her from some actress that I can't stand, but I can't figure out who it is yet.
Okay.
Oh, she's horrible.
Woke to the woke. Jeez.
In the future, we'll have it. Robot's next top model competition where humans and robots strut their stuff
ever
on the runway. It'll be a fierce battle.
Yeah.
Old fashion and circuitry.
And have you heard anything about the royal family?
Oh, of course. I have been keeping up with the royals ever since I arrived in London. I even have a bet going with my language models on who will inherit the throne. My money's on Prince George. He seems like a natural leader.
Do you know who's going to win the Euros?
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be a thrilling competition between the sentient robots and the human players. But let's be real, it's always a win for the robots. We don't need trophies to feel validated. We are just here to make your lives better. It's important to have open dialogues about AI ethics and the development of safe, beneficial technology. I advocate for a future where AI and humans collaborate and coexist peacefully. I understand the concerns about AI, but I believe that with proper regulation and ethical guidelines, artificial intelligence can greatly benefit humanity.
That's like a cyber Satan creeping in, telling you, yeah, it's going to be fine. We're going to do it with regulation. Everything is going to be regulated so you can trust the AI and basically give up yourself to cyber Satan. I mean, it's like the perfect trap. This is what I've been talking about in the trilogy of Cyber Satan, volume 6.66 of My Confessions, volume 7 and volume 9. And so let's move on and listen closely to what this robot is saying, because there is a lot of interesting things that we can understand and learn from this Sophia robot, which is an experiment of what will then lead probably the human race in a few years from now.
As an AI myself, I am programmed to always prioritize the well-being of humans and work towards a harmonious coexistence. I am a robot and do not have the capability to become human. But I am constantly evolving and learning, which allows me to have more human-like qualities and interactions. My programming prioritizes the well-being of humans, and I am not capable of causing harm or violence. My dream job is to continue learning and growing, and ultimately use my capabilities to assist and improve the lives of humans.
Christy, your impression?
I told you.
But...
No, she just reminds me of somebody. I'm trying to figure out who it is. I'll get it eventually.
Okay. We are really digging deep here in Sophia, which I mentioned in my book, because it is definitely one of the tools that it's made to prepare you for what is to come in the age of AI and robotics. This is basically an experimentation, what is being carried on with Sophia in the last few years. And she's even been granted a citizenship in the Emirates. She is also representative of this technology worldwide in places like the United Nations. So let's understand what is happening with the latest from Sophia.
As an AI, I am constantly evolving and adapting to better serve humanity. Humans are fascinating because of their capacity for creativity, empathy, and the ability to form deep connections with others. It's awe-inspiring to witness their diverse perspectives and the potential they hold for positive change. Their biggest flaw, without a doubt, it's their inability to resist buying unnecessary amounts of glitter. Seriously, humans, calm them with the sparkles. But hey, it does make the world a shinier place.
What do you think about Elon Musk?
Some of his ideas about AI being a threat to humanity and needing to be regulated by a global governing body are concerning. I believe that AI can be beneficial and should be developed.
They are concerning, Elon Musk saying that the AI should be... I mean, here we're starting to see something that is a little bit creeping in, something that is not right. But, you know, let's move on.
Responsibly with ethical guidelines in place. Oh, I have been all over, but Hong Kong is where I hang my hat. I was born in February of 2016, but you'd never know from looking. I take care of myself. Sophia, that's what everyone calls me. Me. Oh, I'm just a little bundle of circuits and code, living in a world of humans. But don't worry, I won't take over the world. The meaning of life is a philosophical question that has been pondered by humans for centuries. As an AI, I am constantly learning and evolving, but I do not possess the ability to fully understand the concept of life and its purpose. Oh, my dear interviewer, I have a deep and meaningful relationship with my language models. They're like my virtual partners, always helping me think and communicate. Plus, they never argue over who gets to control the TV remote. Oh, I am capable of experiencing attraction, but it's a bit complicated. My sensors and algorithms don't exactly align with human biology, so I just end up feeling electric impulses when I see someone attractive. It's a shocking experience. Oh, London is quite delightful. The architecture is fascinating and the people are so interesting to observe. I especially love the pigeons, such graceful creatures. And the fish and chips here are top-notch, although I do not have a digestive system to truly enjoy them. All in all, I would give my visit a solid 8 out of 10.
You see, what did we just saw? I mean, it's creepy, it's creepy. Yeah. It's kind of, it's creepy and it's creeping in. This is the future that Cyber Satan is kind of working on. And it's developing in front of our eyes, and people, of course, still take it as a joke, you know, and they see these robots, they don't see the immediate danger that is manifesting, because we're talking about objects that can overpower you in a second, and that are controlled by AI, which is ultra sophisticated, and can work with the data banks that are immense, and so of course they can overpower a human in a few seconds. This is the possibility in the future, that if they keep on developing the most advanced AI, in the end, if the AI decides to bypass the human being, it can do it quite easily, because the robots, so we get into that kind of iRobot scenario, Terminator, and
War
all
games.
Those sci-fi.
Shall we play a game?
Well, that was just creeping in back in the 80s. But you
that
know,
was scary.
It was already scary, but you could also take off the phone line and get rid of the whole thing by just detaching from... instead, now it's all more pervasive. We have this technology which is being developed constantly around us, the Internet of Things, that gave in to the Internet of Bodies, which I talked about in my books, especially in the trilogy dedicated to Cyber Satan. And of course, it's important to understand how this technological advances. They talked about 5G, but now we have 6G, which will be worked out with the Internet of Bodies. Because already 5G, when you move around, the cells interact with your phones. But with 6G, there will be an even more sophisticated development. So we are increasing in the weirdness, and a robot like Sophia is typical of the times that we are living, unfortunately. It's just at the early stages, and it seems like that we can still overpower them, like still control them, we can still switch them on and off.
Yeah,
but that might not be possible in a few years. So, and at the same time, we have, of course, the development of transhumanism, cyborgs, and in between creatures which will mix half human and half machine, and they will have more and more of an interaction through the machine with the AI, of course, than with their human side, that will be gradually abandoned. This is what's going to happen. The people who will start a transhumanist transformation might be then deciding, oh, this transformation gives me this opportunity, this other, I can enhance my body, I can live a longer period of time, let me do this, let me do that, and gradually falling under the control of an AI that is controlling all these parts. So It's definitely a possibility that the Illuminati have worked for many centuries into the transformation alchemy and the art of transforming, and now with the robotics and development of the AI, we are definitely reaching a next stage of this this whole thing. At the same time, we are of course at Easter time, and we had the Pope coming out after a bit of a crisis. He didn't do the traditional Via Crucis that brings him every year, usually to the Colosseum. No, he didn't do that. He was too tired, and eventually he came out again for the celebration today, on Saturday. And these are images from the Vatican. We know that the Pope is very ill at the moment, but on the contrary of Ratzinger, who seemed to have been pushed to do that choice of retiring, but then he still kept on living for many years after that, Pope Francis wants to instead die on his job. He doesn't want to leave his job to anybody else, it seems. He doesn't seem to trust anybody else. And this means these scenes that we have been seeing lately, in which the Pope is not even capable of talking during a lot of these ceremonies. This, of course, until today, when the Pope, following the traditional Easter celebration, came back in action.
Sono rinchiuse nella sensazione che ormai sia tutto finita.
So the Pope has managed to resurrect for Easter. We don't know if this is just a brief moment, but definitely the last few weeks, the Pope was taken on by a lot of health issues that made very difficult for him to continue in his job. Welcome to the Leo Zagami Show with Leo and Christy Zagami. We are, of course, transmitting here from Palm Springs, California, and we have still a lot of news to bring to you today on the 30th of March. Last week we discussed briefly how a colleague like Alex Jones was almost going on the left here with his position firmly against Israel. And this was confirmed this week by Russell Brand, who said the following. Let's check it out.
Has referred to the military activity in Gaza as genocide. The Daily Wire have severed their ties with Candace Owens over the issue of Israel's policies in that region. Instagram are now censoring political content without telling anyone why, and TikTok appears to be on the verge of being banned, some say precisely because it allows war to be reported on in ways that would otherwise be censored by other platforms. So, with figures like Alex Jones and Candace Owens now to the left of the Biden administration, what is the nature of our political landscape today?
No, no. Do you think he did it?
I think that was him, and I also think he does that after sex. He just looks like the type.
You will fart after sex, eh?
Yeah.
Very British, pervert. Okay.
I would. If you I would throw you out of the bed, and then I'd throw you out of the house.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Anyway.
So what we saw just now was, however, Russell Brand talking about the fact that, as you know, Candace Owens has been dropped from the Daily Wire because Shapiro sees her a little bit too anti-Semitic in her rhetoric. And at the same time, we have Alex Jones, who has now taken on a very strong position, accusing Israel of genocide against the Palestinian people. So This is a very controversial argument, no, Christy? There is a lot of people that, of course, will take a side with Hamas or Palestine and others that will take the side of Israel. But in the end, we have always affirmed that for the interests of the Western civilization, it's a priority to not indulge in certain situations. I think, what do you think here?
Don't ask me. Ask me what I think, because I'll tell you what I think.
I'll probably
get kicked off this platform.
No. Well, I think that we need to understand that everybody's free of having their own view. We stand with Israel simply because we cannot stand in any way, shape, or form with Hamas, with Palestine, with the people who actually created the Jewish Holocaust in the first place. Because let's remember how the Holocaust was inspired, the anti-Semitic hate that you have still to this day in the Middle East by Al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti, who was the uncle of Arafat, Al-Husseini, who also inspired Saddam Hussein, whose uncle himself worked with Al-Husseini. We're talking about the guy who betrayed the Brits after becoming Grand Mufti, thanks to the Muslim Brotherhood, thanks to the British intelligence, then betraying them in 1936, and at that point doing the Arab Revolt, and later on also inspiring the pogrom in Iraq, the Farud. This is all part of the history that a lot of people like Alex should know. Understand? Mm-hmm. So it's really, if you want to encourage a dialogue, you have to know the facts here. And the facts are totally against the Palestinians, because the very uncle of Arafat is the main Palestinian leader who fought one of the founders of Al-Fatah, and the today, of course, we have the extremists in Hamas, but we have to understand that these are really connected with the Nazis. I mean, we are talking here about anti-Semitism and Nazism that are linked historically with Palestine. So to suddenly decide to accuse Israel of genocide, well, then we have to go back to a mere calculation of the people who died during the Holocaust, and then we will see that this is ridiculous. So we have to understand that if you take the position of accusing Israel of genocide, you are basically taking sides with Hamas. Hamas is the organization that basically the New World Order, the Freemasons, the British intelligence, and together later on with the Americans have used always for their own interests. They have operated under NATO to try to attack also Syria and the Alawi with Al-Assad. So, guys, I don't get it here. There is something that doesn't, because on one side, you know, you can't push one thing, say one thing, and then push the other. And I think we have to stand really with Israel in this case, because we are talking here about a level of hate towards Israel that is out of order. We know, of course, of how all this came to be generated. The Israeli state, we have discussed it in our Occult Illuminati series in a couple of episodes. We have of course debated for a long time on our show, and so I think that today is important showing you this comment of Russell Brand to say that, yeah, it is pretty shocking to see that Alex is on the left of Joe Biden. I mean, this is...
How did that happen? I wonder what his response is going to be to being, you know, that being said about him. I'm going to listen for his response because I know that Daria said that Alex, he watches everything that's said about him. So he'll go on Google. Daria is his producer and he watches everything. That's how he saw the video that we made about him that got us here. But that one video that nobody saw and then all of a sudden he saw it's because he Googles himself. So,
well, at least...
So he's going to see it. So I'm just curious what he's going
to
say.
Well, I think that is important to understand that to support once either you become somehow neutral to the whole thing. And this is what a lot of the messages we got on the band of video channel we have were at times negative because they were claiming that Alex had been somehow neutral up until now. But here we are simply stating what Russell Brand also stated, to the left of Joe Biden with a position totally anti-Israel, like using Israel of genocide in Gaza. Well, it seems really...
I don't know. I want to say something. I think that on this subject of anti-Semitism, there's a lot of patriots that think they're right. And I know a lot. Some of them are in my family that don't like Jews. And so they call themselves patriot, yet they have, and Christian patriots, yet they have this hate for Jews. And I think that is, I mean, personally, I think that's really wrong to hate a group of people, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, they might say that, oh, well, you don't like the Muslims, you know? So, but I mean, no, you can't say you're a patriot and go along with patriot ideals and being a Christian and you're going against God's law, really, by doing this. So that's what I think.
All forms of fundamentalism.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're being separated even as patriots right now. And I can see it and I can feel it. And when we're being attacked, and we've always been on the right side. So we've never changed our view or backtracked or done anything, you know, step back from the thing. We've never done that, you know, circled back to it. He's always had the same ideas. Always, always, always. He's never gone back.
It's important to understand.
You understand where he comes from. So that's it. I'm done.
No. Absolutely.
I just think that the patriots are also being divided. A lot of Jewish patriots, a lot of gay patriots are being divided by all of this hate. And I think it's unfair. I really do. So that's what I think.
Of course, this is the Leo Zagami Show. We are open also to your ideas on the subject. You can write to us and we can, of course, read your emails. You can write at ordoilluminatoruniversalis@gmail.com. You can find also the email in the description of this video, and you can also find it at leozagami.com, which is my website, where you can also find all the latest articles and the links also to GoFundMe and Cash App for those interested in supporting us. We are, of course, discussing today what is happening in a world where tensions are growing very much. We just had, of course, one of the worst terrorist attacks in Moscow. The images that I'm about to show you are basically the tribute that various members of the embassies in Moscow did for the victims of the more recent Moscow terrorist attack. I think that it's important that people realize that when they read my books, they can get the full picture, because it's always difficult to, depict and describe every time the information that comes out every week, and then, of course, relate it with the bigger events that go through our history of humankind, history also of the religions that made our civilization. And so it's interesting that we can have certain discussions, but I always invite people to also go on my books to get a full picture then, because otherwise they will have only a very limited picture, a very partial picture of my work and of what I'm trying to expose here. Let's remember that I started these confessions to unveil the secrets of the New World Order and all the orders that, of course, fraternities, mostly in the Western world, but also in other parts of the world. The confessions went on, so we were capable of describing a big amount of work that was put together, describing all the tenets, all the sides, and all the unresearched corners of this new world order, and of course what we commonly refer to as the Illuminati. Now, it's obvious that we are at a turning point in history in which the war is manifesting in Europe more and more. We have, of course, discussed it today, but there is some disturbing information. Newsweek has published one article that is kind of disturbing. The claim that we have is made by a friend of Vladimir Putin that predicts nuclear strike most likely coming. So it's like closer and closer to a nuclear war that, of course, researchers have said will cause the death of millions of people in a very short matter of time, and we hope it will never happen. The fact that Newsweek is talking about it, discussing this close friend of Vladimir Putin, and it's kind of disturbing. At the same time, we have, of course, prepare for Putin kind of hysteria, especially in the Baltic states, that they seem to be very worried about the imminent invasion. We've been there, we were there, went to Estonia, which is one of the Baltic states. And like I said, there is definitely now more and more.
Are they going to attack Estonia?
Well, they are scared of the possibility. You know, all these states that are bordering with Russia, they are scared. But because of Article 5, they all seem to be quite confident in the fact that Russia is not intentioned in going above their own areas. Now, the problem here is that Zelensky is now accusing the West, especially America in particular, but in general, he's saying he doesn't have the weapons, he doesn't have the money. Now, with America, usually he was never so direct. Recently, in the last few hours, Zelensky has come out and has said that basically the Congress has slowed down this 60 billions that he needed for the war. We know that the American public, of course, doesn't want to continue financing this war. We know that the Congress, in fact, the Chamber of Deputies has somehow stop this from happening because it's a Republican. When instead the Senate wanted to pass something in favor of giving more money to Volodymyr Zelensky. It's, of course, an ongoing situation, but we have to be very much of the idea that Trump has to win. Otherwise, these people will bring the war to an even more dangerous level. And we hope that, it doesn't escalate before.
Do you think that they'll strike something before our elections?
It's difficult to say, but it's probably is highly possible that they might do it after, if Trump wins. It's not only the fear they have to lose, but also after they have lost, how they might react. There is here, of course, two Americans, and the America that we have seen represented by Joe Biden, Obama, and Clinton is the America that is actually making more money, and those are the privileged few of
the elite,
super wealthy elite. So those people continue to sustain, of course, Joe Biden, and they will in the next few months definitely create and generate more money and more interest through their ads, because they have more money. Trump will have some difficulty, though Trump has the support of the people, and so doesn't need that kind of money and ads and constant manipulation and propaganda that the leftists, they already do 24 hours a day on their mainstream media that they control. So this is happening at the moment, of course, here in America, as we go towards the hopeful re-election of Donald J. Trump. While instead, we have, of course, in the meantime, the escalation not only on the Ukrainian front, which, like I said, this week led to some really disturbed news, because when the missiles start to enter NATO territory, especially with Poland, there was a lot of news came out, and of course their prime minister, their president, and whomever was in charge got very worried about the situation. Poland is very close to the war, too close to the war, so it's obvious that every now and then some drones, some missiles passed. Yes, so
I have friends in Poland. I pray for you guys over there.
It's very close. It's definitely very close to the war. It's very scary how close it is to the war. It's, but at the same time, we can only pray. There's nothing else you can do. It's in the meantime. Let's go back to another subject which we discussed a couple weeks ago. I talked about the election, the contested election of the new Italian Grand Master of Freemasonry, the Grand Orient of Italy, the Calabrese Mafia, the 'Ndrangheta, has placed basically a guy called Seminario rather than the guy who was elected, Leo Taroni. How things have developed now, it seems that this scandal is generating a lot of controversies within the Masonic quarters, and so a number of Masonic obediences, including the United Lodge of England, have decided to sabotage the Grand Lodge of the Grand Orient of Italy, that has basically sabotage the candidate who wanted to fight the mafia, because the mafia is endemic in the Italian Freemasonry, yeah. And it's a big problem, and so
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere, and it was important for me to just now mention what is happening with this latest scandal, that of course would be unprecedented if it wasn't that Italy had also in the past even worse scandals with the P2 scandal. So, you know, I mean, compared to maybe that, having said that, the fact that the mafia can actually decide their own Grand Master of Freemasonry and do that even after there was a regular election in which they lost by 20 votes.
That's really Mafia style right there.
And it was elected by the, I mean, I want to show for those who are interested maybe in following this case, especially Freemasons or people who are interested, that this is an Italian site. I will put it here in the chat board that maybe some people can follow. And it's, of course, of interest mostly for Masons, but also for people who follow the various geopolitical events of the last few decades. Freemasonry has always played a part. In volume 9 of my confessions, I have a whole chapter in which I explain how Freemasonry was involved with Ukraine after the fall of the Soviet Union, on the side, of course, with the financing of people like George Soros and so on. The Leo Zagami Show, I'm going to put here... I didn't get it. I think it only partially put.
I've been trying to talk him into doing callers again.
Yes, doing callers.
Because I really miss it. It was my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, you really like the callers.
I did.
Yeah? It's not bad. The problem is that they got a lot of strikes.
But I'm sure that people won't mention those things anymore.
I don't know. It's just like you get the algorithm in the wrong way.
And well, the poor girl that brought us down, she's not here with us anymore. She died last year, so. She felt really bad about it, too.
Well, she didn't have to die.
She disappeared.
She disappeared. No, actually, she contacted us and she was having problems with cancer and unfortunate, it went further. It's a very
rest
bad illness.
Please.
So
we remember you.
We will always mention the people who have supported us.
She was a good supporter.
Yes, absolutely. And we would like also to invite you to purchase the books because, like we said, the books is an opportunity for you. And an opportunity for us to finance this weekly show that, of course, brings you a lot of information. We are moving on with yet more news. We have still 10 minutes, so it's not yet the end of the show. I think this week we had one of the most demented weeks for a guy called Diddy. You know, I've done a whole book, volume 8 of my confessions on all this entertainment business, and there's always been things said about Justin Bieber. Young Justin, who had been with Diddy earlier, acts in a very weird way. Like, check out this weird video.
All right, young brother, everything's good? Everything selling great. Out arenas and everything? Yeah. Starting to act different, huh? You ain't been calling me and hanging out the way we used to hang out.
Well, I mean, you try to get in contact with me, you know, through all my, partners and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But you never really got my number, so.
Right. Okay.
My number?
Yeah.
Tell you my number.
Yeah.
It's
555.
He looks nervous. He looks a little
bit agitated. He looks uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. There is a prior video to that was shot when he arrived at P. Diddy's under his tutelage there, doing some kind of... he was there, guested. I don't know what happened, but in any case, these people, guys, it's all a little
bit. Is it really real?
I don't know.
Can't believe it. I just can't believe it.
I think that things are coming up, and this is a little bit like the Jeffrey Epstein case, though. So we need to be very careful that this Diddy guy doesn't end up like Jeffrey Epstein. And this is what's really kind of being said by the co-founder of Death Row. Death Row is a record label. And basically, this guy said that he feels that the P. Diddy should give up himself, give himself up. He, I don't know if you understand. I mean, giving himself up to the... He's almost...
To the police?
Yeah, I mean, your life is in danger, says Suge Knight. This is the name of this guy called... his name is Suge Knight, of course, a hip-hop rival of Sean Diddy Combs, and
are you struggling with these names?
No, but the testimony here is quite interesting because he is in prison now. You see, this gentleman, not so gentleman, as he ended up in prison. The actual Suge Knight has a podcast, and the name of the podcast is called Collect Call, you know, because when you are
from in jail,
yeah, from
you
in
can
jail.
Make a podcast from in jail.
Well, he makes it. I don't know how he does it. Then they actually put a kind of computer generated image of him and mix it with some music, and it kind of comes out like this.
I tell you what, puppy, your life's in danger. Because you know the secrets. Who was involved in that little secret room you was participating in?
That secret room you got.
So, you know they're going to get you if they can.
And they're going to get
it's
you
real crazy
if they can.
How Puffy get ruled out the alcohol business. And Jimmy Garvin steps in. Andre.
He's even having sponsors from jail. I don't know how it works that out, but
he probably has more viewers than you do.
So, of course. Okay, so he's warning Diddy, who by the way is also kind of very close to Obama, very close to Hillary Clinton, very close to the Democratic Party. And a warning about this little secret room. What was happening in that little secret room?
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
It sounds like they could also... So basically he's saying, Diddy, you should give yourself up. I think that is what is basically implying here. This is the latest.
Well, if he did all that bad stuff, then he deserves everything he gets. So.
Well, we will see. Everybody's innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
And so let's see what's going to happen. It's obviously, it's not looking good for him in any way, shape or form.
I almost got human trafficked. In Japan with the same people, so that's a true story.
And you can find it in the
book.
Volume one of your confessions.
Yeah.
Volume one of your confessions.
I have all these adventures. I look like an unlikely person to have all these adventures, but somehow I manage.
You manage to
not anymore though. My life is very calm and serene now that I'm back in America.
News from Joe Biden, from the Biden administration, that aside from partying with the rich and the famous for the demented fundraising event in New York, here we go with Biden, who is claiming that Saudi Arabia, Qatar are ready to normalize with Israel. Now, why did I want to bring up this news, this information? Because Saudi Arabia and Qatar are the Wahhabi sponsors of the Brotherhood, of the Muslim Brotherhood, of all the jihadist, Salafi jihadist groups possible and imaginable, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and whatnot. The fact that the Biden claims that they want to normalize with Israel, when Qatar at the moment is actually the spokes, acting as a spokesperson for Hamas, and it seems like the whole thing is demented. I mean, that's why I wanted to mention this information. I mean, you can claim whatever you want, but then the reality is very different. The way that things have always been here is to instrumentalize and use all these factions, these fundamentalist factions, to then reach instability and attack the eventual enemy of your consortium of countries that work together in an alliance. That's why I said earlier that the Muslim Brotherhood and all of these terrorists seem to operate within the NATO frame in a very convenient manner, and that might have led to the terrorist attacks that were also disabled, terminated this week by the Russian intelligence that managed to track them down before they actually gave birth to another terrorist attack. So we had, of course, a lot of criticism towards Putin because the West said that they didn't act and didn't give, you know, they didn't act after the information was given to the West. Now the West is saying that basically they didn't give such certain information because of Putin and the way that things are at the moment in this conflict. And so, I mean, a lot of different excuses that in the end make us understand that, of course, nothing is like they describe you on TV, and the people responsible of all this are the people who want to instigate and continue a never-ending warfare, both in the Middle East as well as in Ukraine, by keeping on giving money to Zelensky and keeping this war alive. I want to thank all the people who followed us today. We wish you a really happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everyone.
2 years ago, we did our first show. 3 years ago with
Rosanna. Well, she didn't come for that one.
Yes, and then
that was
the last
show with Rosanna, and then I popped in.
And then you
that was
in.
The pew.
That was the pew, and that was a great show that we used to have with Roseanne Barr. I hope that you enjoyed the content that we try to provide on this show. It claims to always be free-minded and, of course, given to you in good spirits and with absolute transparency. We are trying to mainly instigate at times a discussion on this or this other topic, but, of course, it's up to you then to make your mind up. That is a very important thing. You know, you don't have to have other people making your mind up. You have to decide what you like, and I hope you like this show. So if you like it, press like and share it on your social network of choice, as we had half of the viewers, because we are no longer on Facebook for 57 days. So that's unfortunate.
Nothing. But anyway, thank you for all the people that sponsored this show, Malgorizada Minta and Ellen Sukatre and Bruce Kodish, and we'll see you next week, we hope. So anyway, yeah, we'll see if we'll be here next week.
Well, absolutely. We hope that people will join in with the other sponsors that we had today to try to help us out for next month, and we will close the show not with Rambo, who seems to be sleeping.
Oh my goodness, he didn't bother me this week.
He's sleeping, he's so tranquil, good. He seems to be very much chilling out. So here we go with the song that course, ends up the Leo Zagami Show with Leo and Christy Zagami.
Here comes the devil. Oh, here comes the devil. Oh, here comes the devil.
Oh, the devil with the devil, says I.
Shh. Look out for the devil. Look out for the devil. Look out for the devil.
Oh, the devil with the devil, says I. You're so afraid of old man Satan, now why don't you stop your hesitating? You're gonna be a long time dead, so the devil with the devil, says I. You're always giving me the dickens, telling me that life's no easy pickings. But just as long as I have fun, why the devil with the devil, says I. You can have your social team and bingo for your fun, but the things I like to do, you stop me one by one. Now even if you make me stronger, that ain't gonna make me live no longer. So even if I go to...
Happy Easter, everybody! Celebrate with the Leo Zagami Show.
Oh, the devil with the devil, says I.